Everyone wants a bit of extra cash, but is a side hustle actually worth your time? Is it worth earning a few bucks from Uber? Or should you aim bigger, starting something that could become a full-blown business? Spoiler alert, some people are even picking up dog poop for their hustle. Would you do it? Welcome to Making Sense. It's the podcast for people who want financial freedom without giving up their coffee, supported by our friends at KiwiBank. I'm Frances Cook, a financial journalist and fellow financial freedom seeker who makes money simple for you. Now, ideally, a side hustle gets that money coming in the door because you don't need me to tell you, we're in a cost of living crisis. They can be amazing for bringing in cash to live a little easier or maybe build towards future goals like investing. And you can even use them to test a business idea. If it takes off, that could hugely increase your income. But there are many bear traps, myths, ways you can waste your time and your money and head straight into burnout. So here's how to get that cash without the crash. Making Sense is on a mission to make money simple, and I just couldn't do that without the support of KiwiBank. It's really important to me to only work with companies that understand that mission. And for KiwiBank, their purpose is to help Kiwi and Aotearoa be better off. So bringing you real stories of different approaches to finance is one of the ways they're making a difference to the lives of their customers. This is making Kiwi better off. This is Kiwi. And I'm joined now by Rachel Taylor from Side Hustles NZ. Look, a lot of people feeling the pinch right now. I feel like I've never had so many budget chats, cost of living chats, just in my day-to-day life. And to balance that out a bit, a lot of people looking for ways to get more money coming in. What do you think, as someone who talks about side hustles constantly, when does a side hustle work and when might it not?
Yeah, so there's definitely been, I've noticed an uptick of people just mentioning the pinch and the pressure that they're under at the moment. And so people are exploring different ways to either make extra money or save extra money, and both are valid. I've always, from the outset, I've always said that a side hustle needs to be sustainable with your current lifestyle, not something that fights against it. So if you've got a stable routine and some extra energy in the evenings or the weekends, then that's the really good time to start looking at alternative ways to start increasing the amount of income that you're making or decreasing the amount of expenses that you've got.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually, is a lot of the side hustle chat, I think what can cause sometimes people to get a bit annoyed with it is if we talk about this is the side hustle that is amazing for everyone, whereas it is always very lifestyle dependent, right? For some people, monetizing a hobby might be really fun. For other people, it's going to suck all the joy out of that hobby. For some people, a bit of evening work, great. For other people, that's when they're with their kids. So it is very much looking at your lifestyle first, right?
You don't want to be stuck doing something that means you're sacrificing other aspects of your life just to make a little bit of extra income. It's about getting that balance to make sure that everything that's important to you is still being looked after and cared for.
Yeah. Okay. So if people are trying to look at their life, their lifestyle, their goals, what makes them happy, what do you think they should look at specifically in their life in order to figure out which side hustles might work for them?
You need to look at the long-term picture. Like, what are your end goals? Is it just to make extra cash this month because you've had a big bill come through? Are you wanting to start something that turns into a business that you can eventually move into full time? Or is it something that you enjoy doing, but you want to monetize it so maybe it pays the bills and pays its own ways? So once you kind of figure out what that goal is, then you can start taking steps to achieving it without wasting time going down the wrong path. Once you're kind of clear on that outcome, you can kind of look at what value you can offer that people actually want to pay for.
Yes, brilliant. Because there are different types of side hustles, right? I mean, just there's many, many, many ways to skin the cat. But the main ones, I think, you look at something like maybe driving for Uber.
Mm.
Easy. You pick up your phone. You can get started. You're done. Monetizing a hobby. Great. You might have some skills. But like I said before, it might make you hate your hobby. So something to think about there. And then, like you say, starting a side business that you hope could go full time. I mean, that's a really long game, but it can work out so well if it goes right. I mean, how do you feel about it? Do you have a preference out of these? Do you think there's one that tends to work more often?
I think that there are ones that are more put out there on social media. Like you see a lot of big gurus promoting quick gigs, quick cash, you know, make something that you can sell online and do it really quickly. But there's a little bit more depth that's required to what it is that you're doing and how you're trying to achieve it. So I don't think that there's one that's better than the other. It goes back to what your goals are and finding the right match to what it is that you're wanting to achieve.
Yeah.
I personally like kind of like a bit of a hybrid approach. Start with something that's going to increase your income quickly, create a sustainable foundation to build something that's a longer term business or a goal for you.
Ooh, that is an interesting approach and I like it. Can you go into a bit more depth on that for me? And is it something that you've tried out or seen others try out? Do we have a bit of an example we could use?
Service-based businesses are always very effective at making quick cash. And that could be anything like I saw a post in our Facebook group where someone has started a business picking up dog poop. And
where there's muck, there's money.
Exactly. People are willing to pay for that. And you can put a post out in a Facebook group tomorrow and say, hey, I've got some free time. This is what I'm thinking of offering. Is anyone interested? And while you're doing that, then you can start being a little bit more strategic in the background. And maybe that income that you're making is going towards building something a little bit bigger, creating a sustainable business that you can eventually grow into something full time.
That's really funny that someone was willing to do the dog poop thing, because like I have heard that where there's muck, there's money so often. People will usually talk about, you know, cleaning houses, cleaning businesses, sometimes even rubbish collection. I have never come across the dog poop one, but I think that's brilliant. If someone's willing to do it, like say you're a dog owner yourself, so you are totally used to it, you don't care. And you know, you're wearing gloves anyway, you're fine. It's kind of genius, because there's a lot of people who wouldn't want to do that. And then, like you say, you've got that basis and you've got a little bit of seed money. If you wanted to do something else, now you can use that to look at, well, what's actually my longer term plan of what I'm doing here?
Yeah. Or you could take that cash and invest it, because everyone wants passive income, right? So start building a portfolio of investments elsewhere that can tick away in the background while you're still doing what you're doing and enjoying what you're doing, because that'll pay dividends in the end.
Actually, hey. I love it. Girl, you are absolutely speaking my language, because this is the thing that we talk about on this channel all the time, because people will say, you know, I want to hit all of these financial goals, and it's hard. I'm never going to deny that, especially at the beginning. The beginning is the hardest bit, you know, standing at the bottom of the mountain and looking up at it, hardest part. And it's a bit glib, but it is also true that getting from zero to $100,000 is harder than $100,000 to a million. It truly is. I know people get irritated by it, but it gets said because it is true. Once you've got a little bit of momentum behind you, you've got a little bit of money behind you, it gets easier. That first bit is the hardest.
When I first heard it, I was like, whatever, you know, I don't really align with that. Mm. And then you walk the path. And hindsight is always 20/20, right? So you look back and you're like, oh, everything they've said was absolutely bang on the money. You know, why didn't I listen earlier, or why didn't I follow that earlier?
Yeah, 100%. Is there a little change actually that you've made that you would have underestimated and you look back and it was really important for you?
Heaps. There's heaps and heaps and heaps of things that I would do differently if I was to start all over again.
You'll hit me.
The first and the biggest one for me is that I wish I wasn't so impulsive leaping into something before I had, money in the bank to act as a backstop for me. I wish that I had taken a little bit more time to do some research around the direction that I wanted to go in and what my goals actually were. So I wasted probably 2 years bouncing around different ideas until I kind of figured out what it is that I enjoy doing and where I wanted to go. So in hindsight, looking back, I wish that I had just listened and just gone a bit slower and made sure that I was taking sensible steps in the right direction.
Yeah. Do you know, that is so hard because I hear you on that, and I definitely have done things that were under-researched and could have been better. I also, to devil's advocate on this, and I'd love to know your thoughts on it. From my perspective, I know that if I have an idea and if I don't put it into action pretty much straight away, that day or that week, that then I won't do it. I will find a way to talk myself out of it. I'll freak myself out. I'll tell myself it's too hard. I'll tell myself it's too complicated, and I just won't do it. So I've definitely had times where I've had an idea and thought, oh, I'm just going to take the first step on it now, because even though it'll be under-researched, otherwise I won't do it at all. What do you think of that? Do you think that's something that, is that a trap you could have fallen into, or are you, you know, definitely that research was needed?
The issue that I have is I'm like, oh, this is a good idea, I'm going to do it. And then I get 80% of the way through, and then I'm like, oh, shiny object over here, this is another great idea, I'm going to go down this path. And then I'll get 80% down that path, and I won't actually finish, like, see anything through to completion. So I've had to really check myself and make sure that if I can feel myself getting distracted, I'm like, oh, no, back on the path. You know, this is what we're focusing on now. And if I have any of those good ideas, I'll write them down. And once I've finished what I need to do, then I can come back and revisit them and look at them again. And often I find that by the time you do come back to look at them, you're looking at them with a fresh pair of eyes.
I love that. I think that's a really good perspective. Okay, coming back on the side hustle thing, if someone is thinking about thoughts of how they could bring things in, they've had a little think about their life goals, they've got, you know, some thoughts on what could work, they're still refining maybe, but what do you think is the first step to actually making a side hustle successful, whatever path they're looking at?
The first step is to see if there's demand for it. Like, is what you're planning on doing something that somebody's willing to pay money for? If you can answer that question, then I think you need to move on to the next step. Just because I see a lot of people that go down the path of, they have a great idea. So they get their logo made, they get their website made, they get their business cards made, because that's the fun, that's the glamorous part of starting a business, right?
Yeah.
But they don't actually go and talk to people and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking of doing, what are your thoughts? And get that kind of feedback from their potential customers. If you're thinking of starting a product, sell it at farmers markets to start with. Paying for a table and being able to talk to your customers face to face is the best way to get feedback on what it is that you're thinking of doing and what it is that you're thinking of starting.
That is brilliant. So find a way to get feedback. And like you say, if it's product, just get out there, talk to people. Do you think people need a business plan, or can they just jump straight in?
I never had a business plan. I just jumped straight in. I think the biggest thing is, instead of writing a 20-page plan, to maybe even just write down your ideas like on one page. You don't need a full business plan on what you're going to do and how you're going to achieve it. Because when you start, and when you start getting that customer and client feedback, what you're doing and what you're offering is going to change. Yeah. So remaining fluid and flexible and listening to what the feedback is from your potential customers is far more valuable than saying, this is what I'm locked into in my 20-page business plan, we're going to stick with that.
Yeah, especially at the beginning, right? Because I've had that happen myself, where there were certain things that I was so sure that I've been in this area for ages before I went and did independent media. And so I was so sure that I knew what my audience wanted from me and what I could give that was of value. And I would say 80% of it I was right, but actually there have still been things that have cropped up where people have been like, more of that, less of that, and lucky me to get that feedback. But then making sure I was nimble enough to be like, all right, that, cut that, way more of it. And not being locked in just because you thought for some reason that's what it was. Especially in the early days of the business, I think it's so important to keep an open mind, right?
Yeah, just that flexibility and that ability to just kind of go with the flow and see where it takes you, and see what opportunities open up as you walk down the path.
Yeah. And I think as well, a lot of people panic a bit on the actual business side of things. And again, it depends what sort of side hustle you're looking at. If you are offering your services on some sort of app, a lot of them will help you out with tax or whatever. Some might do that for you automatically. Some won't. Some are like, well, you're a contractor. That's your problem to deal with. So is there any resources that you recommend for people if they are a bit freaked out by, they're like, I know what I want to do and I feel like I know how much I could charge, but there might be a sort of money aspect, tax aspect, or if they're looking to turn it into a business long term, a business aspect that is freaking them out. Are there resources that can help people with that stuff?
I think there are resources if you look in the right places. And I think there is a lot of free resources as well when you're first starting out.
Oh, 100%. Start free.
Even if you are going down the, I highly recommend getting an accountant eventually. Like even if you're doing the bookkeeping yourself, get someone with the tax expertise who can support you and assist you with all of that, because it's just going to make your life so much easier at the end. But in those initial days, offer to buy someone a coffee and pick their brains, or put a post up in a local Facebook group and say, hey, I'm stuck with this. What do you think? And you'll get a lot of advice and a lot of feedback. Some of it may not always be right, but being able to pick and choose and gather information before making an educated decision yourself, I think is a great way to get started. And don't be afraid to ask for help. You see it all the time in our Facebook group. Someone will have a question and people are willing, you know, they want to help you. They've walked that path that you're starting down and they want to be supportive.
Yeah. Yeah. And I always am a fan of the idea of get as much feedback as you possibly can. That doesn't mean you have to listen to all of it. But if you get as many people's thoughts, feelings, ideas back, and then take it with a huge dose of salt, sort of look at it and say, is there a general trend on what people are telling me? Does this match up with what my gut is telling me? At the end of the day, you're the one in the arena who's having to make it work. You're the one who's having to figure things out. But you can still take all that feedback in and then decide if it's useful to you, right?
I also think I get some people reaching out to me who want the answers given to them on a platter. And my sort of opinion is that if you want to do this, you need to learn how to do it. So take the time and the effort to research and to, again, speak with people and, you know, gather that knowledge for yourself, because it's going to pay dividends further down the track once you have an understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of times as well, I talk to people and they're looking for a side hustle that is low effort, high reward, which, like, obviously the dream for many of us. I would like that with all of my money. Thank you. Yes, please. Does it exist?
I think it does exist, but not at the start.
Mm.
You're always going to have to invest heavily to get the outcome that you want at the end. And most passive income streams always start as highly active ones. So when you see those like business advisors and influencers who are dropping $9 courses or something like that, all you see is the $9 course. But behind that, they've had to build their audience. They've had to create that course in the first place. They've had to get into a position where they've built a community around them. Like, there's so much work that goes in behind that one little $9 course that I don't think a lot of people are aware of.
Yeah.
So while it does exist, it comes later on down the path.
Yeah. Yeah, I so agree. I've heard that referred to as front loading the effort. And I think it's really, really true. I mean, if you think about even with investing, that's also true, right? You know, you're taking your income now, you're investing it, you're hopefully creating passive income later, but you are still having to work and now invest it for now, and you get the rewards afterwards. And I think similar thing with side hustles, businesses, that passive income can exist, but it's not going to be the whole way. I mean, I was listening to a business coach the other day that I have huge admiration for, who was saying, if you're going all the way into starting a business, the first couple of years is going to be hard work, no matter what it is. Now, you might have it designed so that hopefully after that you can take your foot off the gas, but the first couple of years you're going to be putting in the work. And I do think there's so much you can gain from side hustles, whether it's a little bit of cash for now or a full-blown business later, you know, whatever you're looking to create, I think it can be done. It's just there's going to be that upfront effort at first, but do the mahi, get the treats, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing in life is free, they say.
Mm-hmm.
I think as well in this day and age, like everything you wanted immediately, right? So we're kind of conditioned to expect something immediately. But if you start walking down the path, if you just take those first initial steps, it's 6 months, 12 months is going to go fly. And then you'll be looking back going, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I started. I'm at the point where I wish I was back then. And I think that that's just so beneficial.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, underrated side hustles. Which ones do you think are around at the moment that people aren't paying enough attention to?
Tutoring is something that a lot of people want, that there's a lot of potential for. So I actually interviewed a guy, I think he's based up north, who started a tutoring business, and it just went gangbusters so quickly because it's in demand and people want it. And if you have knowledge about a certain subject, other people are also going to want that information and that knowledge as well. Also, local service arbitrage. So in a previous life, when I was working in the construction industry, there was a man who came into our office and he actually managed a group of subcontractors, and he offered a complete package service so that you could have your roofer, your electrician, your plumber all come in. He would organize all the quotes and then he would come in and kind of facilitate that transaction for us in the construction industry.
Mm-hmm.
And managing freelancers for small business owners, right? Because we have limited time and if we can outsource many tasks to one person, that creates a much easier process for us.
And that is like, it's sort of the other side of the where there's muck, there's money. Where are their pain points, right?
Mm.
What can you help people with that is tricky in their life that they maybe don't have enough time, don't have enough knowledge with? I often think, if you're trying to start a side hustle that's unique, and you know, beyond the Uber Eats or whatever, if you're trying to start something that's yours, which is often actually the way to do it and get more money, right? Have a little think about what is your skill and then offer that. And then you can often charge more. So that's kind of a good side hustle. Think about what do your friends ask you to help them with? And think about what comes easily to you, because people often, I think, underrate the things that come easily to themselves. But that's the thing that you're skilled in. That's the thing that you're good at. That's why it's coming easily to you. And, you know, as you're saying, you know, if you've got something like tutoring, if you've got some knowledge in some area and you can help a school kid out in the evenings, parents will pay big money for that. And even now, you know, if you think the tutoring might not be limited to high school kids, because the world of work is evolving constantly. People are having to bring on new skills all the time. Okay, you can go read books, you can go take courses, you can go do whatever. Some people really need another human to guide them through something. If you have knowledge in an area and you're willing to do some tutoring, there are so many people out there who are willing to do it. And I think thinking about, what do my friends ask for help with? What do I find easy? Are these pain points for other people? That's a really good place to start, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And also the other thing I think is that you don't have to be chasing, you know, these billion-dollar unicorns when all you really want to do is make an extra $500, an extra $1,000 a week, which will change your life. You know, that's a huge amount of money for people, and that can, you know, that can go towards bills, that can go on holidays, whatever. Folding laundry. How many people would love to outsource that, right?
Oh my God, I'll hire someone right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and you met Dexter the dog just before. Poop picking. You know, like there's heaps of little things that you can do and you can offer which solves a problem for somebody and allows you just to make a little bit of extra money that's going to change your life for you. You don't need to be chasing $1 million salaries or you know, whatever it is that they pitch across Facebook and Instagram and all those lifestyles and things. Like, yeah.
God, I know. I do. It's really funny because I love the amount of information we can get for free these days. But like you say, you do also then run into the other end of things, the extreme end, which is all the gurus that are saying, this is so easy and do this and do that. And you can be a millionaire in 5 years. And like, maybe some people find that really motivating. And so it serves its purpose in that way. Great. But that doesn't have to be what your side hustle does. If it means that you can go out on a date night with your partner and not stress about it, and it's not going on the credit card, fantastic. That is such an increase in quality of life. And I love that for people. And that is also a great use of a side hustle, right?
Yeah, well, that's the whole point of a side hustle. Just generate a little bit more extra income to put towards things that you want to put it towards. And that might be a date night, like you said, or it might be investing for your future, or it might be building the business, or it might just be helping pay the rent. You know, like there's heaps of little things that it could be going towards, as long as you're not sacrificing your life for it and still keeping that balance.
Life looks different for everyone. Maybe you're buying your first home, growing your whānau, dreaming of travel, or simply trying to stay on top of things. KiwiBank has the tools to help you manage your money your way. Find out more at kiwibank.co.nz. This is Making Kiwi Better Off. This is Kiwi.
All right, so we've talked underrated side hustles. What about overrated ones? Do you, speaking of all these gurus, and I do feel like there is a lot of chat online. Sometimes it's stuff that's outdated, or sometimes it's just all hype and no result, never has had a result. So do you see some side hustles out there that you're like, that's just not going to work?
Cryptocurrency trading is one that's top of list at the moment. Please don't do that.
Day trading in general, like just it's, as an individual, it's so hard. The odds of this working for you are so small. I mean, go buy a lotto ticket.
I tried it just to kind of test the waters, and I had no idea what was happening and no idea what was going on. And I would recommend avoiding that. Go and buy a lotto ticket, like you say, so much more of a chance.
Or a scratchy. Maybe you'll have fun instead and you can count it as entertainment because you're still not going to win, but at least like let's get something out of it. Day trading, crypto trading, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I also think drop shipping as well is another one that's overhyped, extremely saturated. Everyone's trying to do it because, again, they're thinking quick wins.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that it's actually really margin thin. So in order for it to be successful, you actually have to sell a lot to make, one, to make your money back, and two, to actually make an income. And then the other one I had was print-on-demand stores.
Yes.
With no unique angle. I think in all three of those ones, you can do it. But again, you have to front-load the effort. So you have to build the audience, or you have to build your knowledge, or you have to build the brand to create that point of difference in order for them to be successful. But if you're just thinking, I want to make some quick wins, then that's definitely not the right answer for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it is. And I understand, especially in the current economy, that people can be looking for those quick wins. I get it. I've been there and it's hard and you're just like, I need some cash coming in the door. But it will not go well if you fall for some of these ones that are borderline scam, sometimes outright scam. You've got to be so careful with not just your money, but also your time. Your time is a limited resource. And I do think things like burnout can be a real issue for people. You know, if you've got a full-time job anyway, and you're just struggling, you're looking for a bit of extra cash for, like you say, investing, building your future, just having some more treats, whatever you want it for, that's your deal. But I think if you're sometimes doing the full-time job and the side job, burnout can be a real danger. And I don't want to see people wasting their time and maybe getting nowhere. What do you think? Are there ways to guard against burnout? Especially, obviously, let's start with, hopefully, it's a legitimate side hustle, but it's still taking your time. How do you guard your energy?
I think it's really important to design the hustle around your lifestyle, and to make sure that your support network is really strong. So talk to your friends and family and get them on board with the journey that you're wanting to go down. And then also making sure that you choose something that energizes you as well. So do something that's interesting or is achieving the goal that you want, because otherwise you will burn out really quickly if you've got no interest in it. And then the final thing I also say is to set boundaries, like, and really stick to them as well. Have your, you know, time block certain periods of the day where you can focus on what you're wanting to do. But then outside of that, set the phone down, switch the computer off, spend time with your family and just recharge.
I love that. And I think especially what you were saying about make it something that interests you, because I read a bit, it was a think piece and it did its job. It got me thinking that they were talking about burnout doesn't necessarily just come from being busy. Burnout comes from when you're busy and you don't believe in it and you feel like you're spinning your wheels, that it's either meaningless or you're not progressing anywhere, that it for some reason just feels pointless, whatever reason that is. Meanwhile, if you're busy but you feel like there's a purpose to it, that you're building something, that you're making that progress, you know, the difference between running on a treadmill versus running outside through the woods, you know, you're going somewhere, you're getting to your destination, that is so much less likely to result in burnout. And you still could. You can run out of energy on anything. But that has really changed how I've approached things, because I am someone who's super busy and I'm doing things all the time. But I'm very lucky in that I love what I do and I genuinely believe in it. And it feels like it has a purpose. I love feeling like I am helping people with a very important area of their lives. And so sometimes if I'm doing a bit of work on a Sunday evening, getting ahead of the week, sometimes the kids have gone down to bed and I'm like, oh, I've got to finish something. The newsletter isn't ready for tomorrow yet. You know, it's still good and I don't burn out. Whereas I have been in those thankless jobs where the boss isn't listening to you and you're getting nowhere and that's hard. And that was actually lower hours and so much harder. I think that is, yeah, what you're saying there about making sure that you have a point to the side hustle, you feel like the work is meaningful, or maybe even just that what you're getting from the side hustle is building to something meaningful. I think that helps, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And even because we're going back to things that can get you quick cash, service-based businesses, right? So folding laundry, cleaning, gardening, all of that, they're tedious jobs and you don't want to be doing them. But if you, like you say, if you think of what that's going to get you in the future, it kind of helps you push through those tougher times and out the other side, because you know what you're working towards. You kind of have that goal and that path.
Yes. And also maybe if it is something like that that's a little tedious, habit stack. I mean, just to not to be biased as the podcast host, but stick in your headphones and listen to your favorite podcast. And then, you know, you're maybe learning something or just having a nice time hanging out with a host that you really enjoy. I knew someone who was a security guard, and that ended up being a lot of time by themselves, doing patrols, slightly unsociable hours. And they, you know, you can only have one headphone in because you've got to be alert, but they would just stick a headphone in and have a podcast or an audiobook going, and they were leveling up. They knew they wanted to launch a business. They were leveling up their business knowledge. And so they were never bored on the job. And so I think habit stacking can also be a good one too, right? You're feeling like you're achieving something just in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I know. And this is why I love chatting to people about, I'm terrible. I am that person who you leave me alone in a grocery store and I've found someone and I'm chewing their ear off about like the biggest details of their lives. And my husband comes back and he's like, do you know that person? Why were you having such a deep and meaningful? I'm like, no, I just have resting nice face and people for some reason tell me their secrets. Like, can't take me anywhere.
We checked out all the groceries. Where were you? I was waiting in the car.
Yeah. He's like, we have things to do. Get out of here. And I'm like, but I'm chatting. All right, great. So you've kind of covered there, you know, if you're looking for quick cash, then that's a good one. If someone's wanting to do maximum money, if they are thinking they want to build something that could, in the future, take over and be the full income stream, does it have to be a more long-term plan on that?
It doesn't have to be a long-term plan, but you have to go into it expecting a longer horizon because you are building an asset. So with all assets, the more time and energy you put into that, the more value that it has, brand, audience, product, the more of that that you have, the more someone's going to be willing to pay for it.
Yeah. Because you yourself are a side hustler, right? I mean, you run Side Hustles NZ, which is fantastic, but you yourself also side hustle. Tell me a bit about your side hustle and how you started it.
So I started the Facebook group, like the community, back during, I think, the start of lockdown, when there was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of people weren't quite sure what was happening with their jobs and what the landscape was looking like. So I built that community as kind of a place for people to get support and seek advice from each other. And it's grown to this giant community of people who either want to start and grow businesses, which is fantastic. Like, there's so many smart people in there with great advice. But my story is that I went down a career path that I eventually burnt out from. I was working super long hours, starting work in the dark, finishing work in the dark over winter, and I just couldn't keep doing it. So I did what I tell people not to do, and just handed in my resignation and was like, I'm going to experiment. I'm going to try something else. And so I started a business and it failed. I started a business and it failed. I started a business and it failed. And during that process of experimentation, I realized that I actually really enjoyed doing the website design and the SEO behind all of these businesses. So that's where my now full-time job came from, Fruit Punch Digital. But yeah, those were all the little businesses that started and failed. I'd call those side hustles at the start, just because I was experimenting with them and figuring out what did and didn't work.
Can you tell me more about those businesses, what they were and why they didn't work?
I think mostly they didn't work because I got to that 80% completion point and then didn't back myself, or I chickened out, or I felt like I'd run out of knowledge on what steps to take next. The first one was selling dog treats, which, when you actually run the numbers, the profit margins are really good for a dog treats business. But I got it to a point where I didn't have that experience in e-commerce and selling a product, so I didn't know how to scale it. And from there, I kind of, my interest in it fizzled out. And then there was a couple of other different things that kind of popped up and didn't, that also fizzled out. But it got me to where I am today. So I'm very grateful for those learning experiences.
Was it bruising at the time? Because I think sometimes there's this expectation of, we feel like we should succeed the first time. The reality is I've met a lot of very successful entrepreneurs, business people, just as part of my work. And so few of them were successful. I actually don't think any of them were successful the first time around. But we have this expectation on ourselves that we should be. And so did you hit those points where you're like, oh, this isn't working and I'm going to shut this down and try a different thing? Was that hard, or were you able to sort of bounce through it quite well?
Looking back, I think I was able to bounce through it quite well, but only because I was like, oh, this is exciting, this new project. I'm going to distract myself.
Shiny object syndrome helped you.
Yeah, I'm going to distract myself from everything that went wrong and just focus on this new project over here. But I think that if you are starting something, you have to have tough skin, because people are going to criticize what you're doing. They're not going to believe in you until it works. And you have to be your own biggest advocate, and, you know, really back yourself if you want to get anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you are absolutely spot on that. And of course, going through those, I don't want to call them failures, learning experiences, because they were crucial to where you've ended up. Going through those learning experiences and then realizing, actually, it's the behind the scenes of this that I'm enjoying, and other people struggle with that. And I think that might be my side hustle. What was that realization like for you, and how quickly could you get that up and running?
I realized it worked when it felt easier than everything else that I was doing. So it fit into my lifestyle better. It came up in conversations naturally. People started coming to me asking for support in those particular areas with website design or SEO. And so it kind of just, it just felt a lot more natural than the previous businesses that I'd tried to start. And it all just kind of fell into place a little bit easier for me.
Yeah. When we talked about some of the quick cash stuff before, and I know I've mentioned Uber and things, another thing people ask me about all the time is the survey sites, because they're very easy. They can also be quite low pay, but you know, you can literally do it standing in the grocery line. What do you think of some of those sort of easy to start but lower paying side hustles? Because a lot of what we've talked about have been sort of almost a small business, you know, or at least leaning towards a small business. What do you think of some of those classic, you can start this, you get paid a little bit, but it's not heaps. Is it worth it at all? Or should you go for those more self-sustaining, small businessy ideas?
For the survey sites, low effort, low reward. And if you're happy with that, great. If you only want an extra, you know, however much they are, $15, $20 a week, that's fine. That suits you. That suits your lifestyle. Stick with it. But don't let it take up too much time, and don't let it distract you from your actual, like your bigger goals. For survey sites, I say do it while you're watching TV, or do it while you're sitting on the bus going into work, or, you know, in times where you have that little bit more flexibility and you can do maybe two things at once, just to bring in that little bit of extra income. But don't let it take over your life, because they are, you know, time consuming filling out some of those surveys.
Yeah. So agree. Okay. If someone comes to you, and actually they probably do because of the communities you run, but comes to you and says, I'm thinking about starting a side hustle, don't know where to start, don't know what I'm doing, just want to go, want some side income here. What's your number one bit of advice for someone who is just thinking about getting started?
I would say just, again, talk to people and start getting feedback from your immediate community. Around some ideas and some solutions that might fit into your lifestyle. I mean, even just jump on ChatGPT. I've put a prompt into ChatGPT where I've asked it to ask me a series of questions to help me define a problem that I'm wanting to solve.
Oh.
So you could put a prompt into ChatGPT and say, hey, I'm thinking of earning some extra income. Ask me questions about my lifestyle and behaviors to help me come up with some ideas. And it can spit out some really good suggestions that you don't often think about.
I love that. What a good idea. ChatGPT is career coach.
Yeah, which, you know, just can help you brainstorm. I always take it with a grain of salt, because, you know, they talk about how there's some errors in there. But, you know, it's a starting point, right? And stay flexible, stay fluid, keep exploring options, and something will stick, and explore that and be open-minded about it.
And I think using the prompt, rather than saying, tell me side hustle ideas, and it's going to spit out the same sort of top 10 tips that you see everywhere that probably everyone has tried, because everyone's seen them, that there's lots of people trying to do it. And then there's too much competition in those areas. To instead say, hey, ask me a series of questions and help me figure out what I'm good at, what my lifestyle could fit. And then it can spit back, you know, what about this? What about that? And that's, I think, a much smarter prompt, a much smarter use of AI that helps you figure out something beyond those top 10 lists, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it goes back to what we were talking about before, about how a side hustle needs to complement your lifestyle and complement what you're doing rather than take over.
Okay. So you also run, we've mentioned it a couple of times, but we haven't given it the full tour, because I think people might be wanting to know more about what you do and where they can find this wonderful support. You do run one of the big communities talking about side hustles. So where can people find that? Where can people find more about your work? Give us the full. Anyone can stalk you online if they go to these places.
Yeah, so I'm mostly on Facebook and LinkedIn, but we run a Facebook community called Side Hustles NZ, and there's about 55,000, just over 55,000 members in there now.
That's impressive.
And yeah, yeah. It's full of amazing people. Like, it's definitely community led. There's amazing people in there who are doing amazing things, and they're willing to support other people who want to start and try something. So it's a fantastic space to be in if you're just wanting to rub shoulders with people who are doing what you're doing, or, you know, running businesses or things like that. So it's really helpful. And then on the back of that, we've got a website that I'm slowly just building out with resources and tools to help people who want to start and grow something. So at the moment, that's mostly articles and some free downloads. There's some calculators on there as well to help with like pricing products and figuring out what like your margins might be and things like that. And then when I'm not doing that, I'm busy designing websites for small businesses and helping get them online and building their online presence.
I love it. And for anyone who missed it earlier, give us your business name again.
So it's Fruit Punch Digital.
Perfect. Perfect. And I've got to say, I love having a wee look in the Side Hustles NZ Facebook page. Like you say, so many wonderfully supportive people in there. I do think it also comes down to good community management. I did see you telling people off the other day and banning a couple of people who were rude. And you've got to, because otherwise people get wild online. Like, just, there is a person on the other end of that screen. Stop being so rude. So I think it's a great community you've built there, and the website you've got has got some great resources. So thank you so much for coming on. That's Rachel Taylor from Side Hustles NZ, giving us all the dirt on how you can find that side hustle that helps you live life hopefully a little bit easier. Now look, if this episode was helpful to you, first of all, hit subscribe. Secondly, send it to a friend so we can all get better with money together. You're also very welcome if you have more questions, things that you wish that we had dived into more in the Side Hustle chat. We can revisit it. So hit us with those questions. But until next time, have a great day.
Just a note before you go. This podcast can only give you general information about how things work in most cases. It's not individual financial advice. We're all different, so some of this might not apply to your specific situation. Take what works for you, ignore the rest. If you're after individual financial advice, a financial advisor is always the best bet.